Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Don't worry, I have it for you. I have the update on the new Democrat attempt to take out Trump. Yes, using their own words. They are so stupid sometimes. They just lay it out there for people like me to put together. You'll be a few months ahead of their next sick plot. Don't go anywhere. Big updates today in the show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Ladies and gentlemen, protect your online data and your internet activity from prying eyes today. Go to expressvpn.com/Bongino. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Producer Joe, how are you today? Fine, sir.
Hello, hello, hello. Ready to go there, brother. All set.
Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you.
So,
yes, I know. We have a loaded show today, as always on Monday, stacking up the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday stuff that we couldn't get to because we don't do weekend shows. Ladies and gentlemen, I got updates on that. I just told you about Narrative Alert.
Yeah.
I got that. I got an update on Facebook. Facebook, otherwise known as Facebook. Yes, Facebook is doing everything it can before the election to silence my page. It's not just about me, though.
Right.
It's about conservatives. I got an update there. You're going to like, and at the end, don't go anywhere. Friday night, something happened. Someone was fired. Major kind of impeachment hoax around for the Spygate thing, involved with the fake whistleblower. Oh, I got connections for you there.
Okay.
All right. Today's show brought to you by buddies at Cryo-Free CBD. Ladies and gentlemen, you know I have horrendous arthritis. You know about their pain relief roll-on. It's insanely popular. It looks like a deodorant roll-on. You roll it on your joints. You know I love that. I've also been using this too. You're going to want to listen to this. Omax has given me an exclusive on their worldwide launch of their new Cryo-Free CBD Advanced Joint Defense. This product's going to blow your mind. Their Advanced Joint Defense is a one-a-day supplement containing hemp-derived CBD and a clinically proven ingredient called NEM that relieves your joint discomfort and soreness in 7 days or less. Been less for me. I have really bad joints. Love this stuff. This breakthrough formula can reduce aches and pains from sore muscles. You see, it's almost empty. Joint overuse and aging. If you want to stay super active, it's a must for muscle recovery while improving flexibility and long-term joint health and suppleness. The best part is this. The CBD-powered supplement contains absolutely no THC, and our friends at Omax make sure it's third-party tested, so you get 100% premium quality you can trust. Omax is offering my listeners a limited-time offer of 20% off their introductory pricing on Omax Cryo-Free supplements, plus free shipping. The discount applies site-wide, including their roll-on, which is fantastic, too. Just go to omaxhealth.com today. That's omaxhealth.com, and enter promo code Bongino to take advantage of this incredible savings. That's omaxhealth.com. Enter promo code Bongino, B-O-N-G-I-N-O. Get 20% off site-wide. If you're looking to relieve your muscle and joint discomfort, in 7 days or less, you're looking for a natural, powerful solution that's tested. Omax Cryo-Freeze Advanced Joint Defense. Love this stuff. Science-backed CBD formula is a breakthrough for joint health for anyone dealing with stiffness and joint pain like me. Go to omaxhealth.com, enter promo code Bongino. Take advantage of the savings. Omaxhealth.com, O-M-A-X, enter code Bongino to get 20% off Omax Cryo-Freeze and site-wide. Don't let muscle soreness be an excuse for living an active lifestyle. OmaxHealth.com. Feel relief faster. All right, Joe, let's go.
And they're off.
Ding, ding, ding. So, as I started addressing last week, the big question, the big outstanding, remember that show, the game show with the pyramid nail? The big question, the big winner right here, right? What was that? The $64,000 pyramid, whatever that show was?
Some pyramid, yeah.
I was a game show fan when I was a kid. Why did they flip the panic switch? Why did the media, and I'm going to play some super cuts and video. Ladies and gentlemen, I got the receipts, baby. I got the receipts of the video of the media flipping the switch. Why did they go from in January and mid-February saying, hey, Trump's panicking, everybody. You're all panicking. Stop. It's just the flu. Don't worry. To Joe on a dime. Boom. Flip-a-rooski. Flip the switch. Now, you need to panic.
Oh.
You need to really panic.
Oh,
and if you don't really panic, you're with Trump, who underestimated the problem. Trump lied, people died. Why did they flip the switch and how? Well, because we're getting ready for a set of narratives. We're going to go segments of today's show are going to be Narratives 1. This is Narratives 1 segment on the bottom. We wish we had Narratives 1. And there's going to be Narratives 1 sub A, Narratives 1 sub B, like it's a legal manual. Then we're going to go to Narratives 2. So first, why did they flip the panic switch, the media? Well, obviously, because now they found, with the media and their Democrat sycophant allies, they found that it can be politically useful panic. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't have Trump underestimate a crisis if you don't have a crisis. Right?
That's right.
So let's produce the receipts here. As I always tell you, if you'd like to pay attention to where the Democrats are going to go next, you have to take their surrogate brain. Go to his Twitter feed, follow it. Don't comment or he may block you. I'm just warning you. You have to go to Lawrence Tribe. Again, talking about why they flipped on to the you must panic right now. If you don't panic, you guys are all idiots, despite telling us don't panic a little while ago. Mm-hmm. Here's Lawrence Tribe's tweet. This will explain a lot. This is Nancy Pelosi, but Lawrence Tribe is a lawyer. He's at Tribe Law. And whatever Lawrence Tribe tweets, you will see showing up out of Nancy Pelosi's mouth just days, if not minutes afterwards. He is her surrogate brain here. He feeds her stuff. Now, Lawrence Tribe is a lawyer. So lawyers always think of things like motive. You know, they're always thinking in terms of legal cases. So they need a motive. Keep this up. Mm-hmm. I have this tweet up. If you want to watch, youtube.com/Bongino for the visuals. Lawrence Tribe needs to provide a motive, because a motive, although not necessarily, if you kill someone, you do it, it's still a legal case regardless, right, Joe? Yeah. Motive is important, but it's not everything.
Right.
But motive is important in politics. Why, Joe? Because it diminishes political capital.
That's right.
And if you can provide a motive as to why Trump may have done something and underestimated this massive crisis that the media wants you to believe we're in, if they want, they need a motive, because that motive, if it's malicious, will destroy President Trump and make him look like an evil person. Let's read this tweet from Lawrence Tribe. What if we were to learn that Trump suppressed scary information re-COVID-19 and the federal response in January, Joe, to postpone the economic turndown until it could no longer endanger his Senate acquittal? Retweet if you wouldn't be surprised by his making that trade-off. Oh, here we go.
Here it is.
Motive alert by hapless hack Lawrence Tribe, Nancy Pelosi, surrogate brain. Remember, a motive is not necessary in a legal case. Matter of fact, in some counterfeiting U.S. currency cases, I worked as a Secret Service agent. Motive is almost irrelevant. Yeah. We catch you passing the counterfeit. That was it. But Lawrence Tribe understands that Nancy Pelosi, his partner in crime, in order to engage in some prolonged political attack, whether it result in impeachment, Trump's loss in the election, they're just trying to attack Trump. Mm-hmm. They need a narrative. Narrative one, sub A, is going to be Trump underestimated the crisis, and his motive, remember, provided by a lawyer who knows they need a political motive, is going to be they delayed the response to the Wuhan virus, Joe, from China.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Trump had a Senate impeachment going on, and he was trying to hide the bad information from the economy. He was. He was. So despite the fact that we didn't have the first known death from China until January 11th, China didn't even report through their hacks in the WHO. That's going in my next book, by the way, WHO China. Don't you forget it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't have a follow the money without that, right? Come on. WHO wasn't even reporting human-to-human transmission, because the Chinese were lying, until mid-January. Trump just two weeks later, institutes a travel ban, which on the same day Nancy Pelosi attacks travel bans. Oh, that's about the fake book thing later too.
Mm-hmm.
So Lawrence Tribe is claiming somehow that Donald Trump, Joe, was privy to some special information literally no one else in the media or politics had, and didn't act because he didn't want an economic downturn in the middle of his Senate impeachment trial, which the Democrats, by the way, were engaged in while the Wuhan virus was raging in China. Do you believe this sick puppy? Do you believe this guy, Tribe? He's providing them a political motive now for their next attack on Trump. They're not thinking about getting through this at all. They don't care. If you were attributing to at all, Joseph, I'm not talking about voting Democrats out in the country. A lot of good people out there, registered Democrats. Mm-hmm. I grew up in New York and Maryland. Joe's in Maryland now. He's surrounded by Democrats. They're my friends. They see the world different. That's okay. I don't think of them as evil people. I don't. The radical Democrats in Congress and their sickos like Tribe, these are sick, disturbed people. Ladies and gentlemen, they have no desire whatsoever to solve this problem. They are solely thinking about the next Trump investigation, the next attack. And Tribe is here to provide the motive. So narrative number one that they're going to use going forward, sub A, Trump underestimated the crisis, despite the fact that the media themselves and everyone else involved in this in January had no special information, neither did Trump, about this. And they're claiming they did, and that Trump was the one who dropped the ball. I have the receipts, as always, so don't you worry. Here's receipt number one. Here's Jerry Nadler, yes, who was involved directly as a committee chair in the whole impeachment hoax, preoccupied in January and February with impeachment while the Wuhan virus was raging, getting ready to wreck our economy. Here's hack Jerry Nadler, Democrat hack, liar, loser, collusion hoaxer Jerry Nadler, in a congressional hearing being asked a question by, I believe, Debbie Lesko about Trump's travel ban from China. Now, because Jerry Nadler, Joe, and Lawrence Tribe and Nancy Pelosi had special information about the dangers, and Trump underestimated the danger, Joe, not them. I'm sure Jerry Nadler's answer to the question about Trump's travel ban from China to stop the Wuhan virus from coming here, Joe, I'm sure his answer is going to be, this is sound policy. This is a smart move. I don't agree with President Trump, but good move because we've got info. This could be dangerous. Joe, that's the answer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. That is the answer. Yeah.
Of course. Now, Joe gets to cheat because he already knows what the answer
that's
is.
Right.
But was that really the answer? Is Joe messing with us? Am I messing with you? Let's hear Jerry Nadler himself. Check this out.
Chairman Nadler, you stated just before that the president appropriately used 212F authority for the coronavirus response, but did not. Oh, you didn't say that?
No.
Okay.
I said he's used it many times appropriately.
Do you think then that it is appropriate under 212F for the COVID-19 response?
Let me, no, I don't. Because it's irrational and doesn't help public health.
Huh? Hat Tip Media Research Center on that little gem. Now, Joe, you were faking us. Come on. So was I. Jerry Nadler, come on, saying something that actually makes sense.
Dude.
Give me a break, folks. You must have known I was kidding.
Yeah.
Joe, I thought he knew. Wait. I thought the Lawrence Tribe narrative is Trump undersold this crisis, missed the ball, dropped the ball. Everybody knew this was going to be a crisis but Trump. Mm-hmm. Trump should be impeached. And Trump did it because he was trying to avoid being impeached the first time. Because if he told you how bad the crisis Jerry Nadler clearly knew about,
clearly
was going to be, it would crush the economy during his impeachment trial. And then the Senate Republicans would turn on him and definitely impeach him. There you go. Jerry Nadler knew, Joe, despite the fact that Jerry Nadler knew absolutely squat.
Bingo.
Now, Joe. The media, you know, the media, how smart they are. I mean, they're always ahead. I mean, you know, Joe, me and you, two dopes. I mean, the former cop and audio engineer. What do we know?
He
only wrote a couple books and did shows on Spygate and Exonerate, where he called this scandal 3 years ago. The media told us we were crazy, but that's okay. Clearly, we're the morons. The media is really smart. The media, which has highlighted themselves in this crisis for being the most useless morons society has to offer up. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
They are. I have to, because I'm so beyond furious with these media losers. But clearly, since Jerry Nadler had a heads up about how dangerous this was, it dreaded air quotes, the media knew too. It was Trump who, although he instituted a travel ban and was warning the American public, right? Granted, the response wasn't perfect. I'm not saying that. I'm not some kind of golden calf sycophant. Clearly, no one saw what was coming. In many respects, people in the White House as well. But that's not the Democrats' story. Their story is like, we had special information and Trump didn't. He should be now for be investigated. Well, here's the media geniuses now attacking Trump. Geniuses, the smartest among us. Again, warning us about how dangerous this is going to be, right, Joe? Because they're so smart.
Yeah.
Here are their warnings saying, folks, this is coming. Be very careful. Here's a supercut hat tip, Tom Elliott, the great Tom Elliott over at Grabian. Here is a, this is the Free Beacon. I'm sorry. Free Beacon, hat tip, Free Beacon. Got to get your hat tip, sorry. Here is the media supercut of them clearly warning us about the dangers ahead. Check this out.
In late February, President Trump began downplaying the coronavirus by likening the illness to the seasonal flu.
People are like, you know, I think I have the flu. Could it be the coronavirus? Overall, most people should not be terribly concerned about it. You definitely want to pay attention.
Should they panic?
No, Americans do not need to panic. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu.
Flu is a much bigger deal.
There's an important context we need to keep this in, and that is that the flu is more deadly.
Maybe this is a good opportunity to remind people of that.
Such a good reminder.
And while there's a lot of fear over this coronavirus, you know, the flu is already widespread in the U.S., and it really is much more deadly, is it not?
Coronavirus is not going to cause a major issue in the United States. We're going to have 40 to 60,000 deaths this year in the United States from the influenza, and it's preventable.
And there are only 12 confirmed cases of coronavirus here in the state.
The risk is low. The risk, however, for the flu is through the roof.
Health warning from doctors why they say people should be more worried about the flu than the coronavirus.
Half the people in America do not get a flu shot, and the flu right now is far deadlier. So if you're freaked out at all about the coronavirus, you should be more concerned about the flu.
Yeah, the Illuminati.
There it is,
yeah,
Joe.
Baby.
There it is, the media warning us how dangerous this was going to be.
Right.
Of course, that's not what the media was doing in January, because the media had no special information, just like the White House didn't either, because although Donald Trump, I believe, has been an effective president during this crisis, Donald Trump cannot predict the future, ladies and gentlemen. He's not Karnak from the Johnny Carson show. So narrative number one, Trump didn't see this coming, but we all did. Impeach him, investigate him, destroy him at the ballot box. In conjunction with their media loser idiots who keep parroting this narrative, is clearly false. What they're accusing Trump of, underestimating this crisis, which he didn't, they did themselves, and we have the receipts for you right there. So, again, A block of the show, to use media terminology, narratives one sub A, Trump underestimated the crisis. No, you did. As you called his travel ban xenophobic and racist, you media idiots. Now, narratives one sub two, why, remember, narratives one is why they flipped on the panic switch. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm trying to categorize this like it's a book, so visualize it in your head. Chapter one, why did the media flip this panic switch? Because they want to now instill a narrative, sub A here, that Trump underestimated a crisis. You can't have a crisis if you don't get people to panic. So now they're in full panic mode, realizing they can use it against Trump, despite the fact that they're trying to memory hole that they said the exact same thing Trump was saying, in many respects, back in January. Memory hole that. Okay, why did they flip this panic switch? Sub B? Because they're realizing this crisis is a golden opportunity to advance their pathological liberal big government dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a matter of weeks, liberals have managed to convince large portions of America the police state's a good thing. By the way, if you're ratting on your neighbors for being outside, please stop listening to my show. I'm not kidding. It's not that important for me to have. Please go find another show.
Amen, brother.
If your neighbors are doing nothing wrong, they're not congregating, they're not coughing on people, they're taking a walk or something, or they're in a park or they're in their car, I'm serious. Please go elsewhere. I don't want anyone on, I want nothing to do with you. The stuff I've seen out there is pathetic. Mm-hmm. Granted, I get it. Social distancing. I was in a supermarket this weekend. I was keeping my distance from people. Responsible thing. I don't want to get sick either. I think I already had this thing. Having said that, it's another story. I'll explain to you another day. I don't want to, I get it. I've been wiping down things I touch, even my own doorknobs in my house. I'm not stupid. Having said that, if your neighbor's taking a walk because they've got Jack Nicholson, like red rum, shining fever, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And hey, police, my neighbor's out. Please stop watching my show and beat it. Don't ever communicate with me again. I'm sickened by this stuff. I say that because the Democrats are realizing this is an opportunity to get you comfortable with police state-like tactics. Call your neighbors. Call the cops and your neighbors. Number one, and number two, that government's going to solve all our problems like the big nanny we want them to be, despite the fact that the Democrats' very complaint right now is that the government couldn't solve our problems. Ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
But don't worry, Joe. Again, I have the receipts. Why'd they flip the panic switch? Because they need a crisis, because you could take advantage of a crisis. And sometime in early March, the Democrats figured that out. Gosh, we can get people to get comfortable with crazy government spending. Hat tip, this is Tom Elliott from Grabian. Great Twitter account. I think it's Tom S. Elliott or something. I'm going to have to get that Twitter account. He's really good. But he's at Grabian. They do some of the best supercuts ever. Here's the supercut of the Democrats admitting this is a perfect time in a crisis to institute their big government plans. This is a little long, but oh boy, is this worth your time. Check this bad boy out.
Do you think that more needs to be done in the next package now that we've seen these appalling, historic unemployment numbers already just today?
Yes. I mean, there's a long list of things. The OSHA, family and medical leave more broadly interpreted, free testing. The list goes on and on.
Are you taking into consideration green jobs, green infrastructure?
Yes. We need it big, we need it bold, and we need it futuristic, which means green.
I mean, there's a long list of things. Infrastructure, clean water, community health centers. The list goes on and on.
Well, this is a case for universal health care.
We absolutely have to transform our health care system.
Absolutely. We see this as an opportunity to reshape the way we do business and how we govern.
Fully paid sick leave for all our workers. Student loan forgiveness. Cost-free treatment for the COVID-19, whatever the costs are relating to that.
I mean, there's a long list of things. Internet, broadband, the grid. You have to have mobility. We need money for the postal services.
The national minimum wage should be $15, but that's not nearly enough.
The list goes on and on.
A national effort to enlist doctors, nurses, hospital workers of all kinds.
I think the government should step in.
I believe the federal government should take over contracting and acquiring all the medical supplies that we need.
We got to have telehealth. We got to restructure the way we deliver health care. So yes, Jim Clyburn is a restructuring government guy.
I mean, there's a long list of things.
Rent suspensions, payment suspensions, mortgage suspensions, guaranteed housing, expand our public health care systems, drop the Medicare age to zero. Whatever way we can get this done, let's get it done.
The list goes on and on.
There it is, folks.
Yes, sir.
And it's, I looked it up while that was playing because, you know, I can do that kind of stuff. His Twitter, he's Tom Elliott. He's at Tom S. Elliott, two L's, two T's. Follow him. He has some of the best supercuts out there at Grabian, which we use Grabian too. They're terrific. There it is. Don't listen to me. Just listen to them. So again, why did the Democrats and their media sycophantic butt-kissing allies flip the panic switch? You have to panic because in order to get a crisis, you need panic. You can't tell people that when you want a crisis right now, you can't tell people, oh, don't panic. It's not a crisis. You have to get them to panic. So narrative one, yeah, Trump missed the crisis. We were all over it. No, you weren't. Narrative two, gosh, we have a crisis. This is really a great opportunity to institute all that crap you just heard about, isn't it? All right, we're going to go to narrative sub two, but I just got one more quick one. This is kind of one of those LOL segments we have to do. I know LOL. I hate LOL, but I use it too sometimes. You know, laugh out loud. Here's Trump when asked during a presser this weekend about Joe Biden, the absolutely hapless, pathetic, sorry Joe Biden. I was happy to see Joe Rogan on his really super popular podcast talk about how pathetic Joe Biden. That was great. Here's Trump asked a question by a reporter about Joe Biden tweeting about his press conference. In other words, Biden tweeting about Trump's presser. And here's Trump's answer. This is hilarious. Check this out.
He didn't write that. That was done by a Democrat operative. He doesn't write. He's probably not even watching right now. And if he is, he doesn't understand what he's watching.
L-O-L-O-L-O-L. L-O-L. L-O-L.
Paul, I love that one. I wasn't going to conclude that because this really isn't in the narrative segment. But just for your comic relief, it's rough times. I know people are hurt. I need to laugh a little bit. And Joe Biden and Trump are always Trump a source of good comedy when he does that stuff. And Biden a source of good comedy for merely at this point running for president. So he's not watching. And if he's watching, he doesn't know what he's watching anyway. Classic, classic Trump. All right, I'm going to get to narratives two right here. Now, narratives one was why they flipped the panic switch with the answers. Narratives two is, ladies and gents, are the models all wrong? And if the models are all wrong, why are the Democrats continuing to double down on using these models to shut down the economy? That's because they have two other narratives they want out there too that, of course, are narratives. Remember, the media is always telling you a story, not the story. I just gave you two of the narratives, the us stories they're trying to tell. I'm going to give you two more in a minute. Let's get this second sponsor today. Our friends at Vincero Watches, V-I-N-C-E-R-O. Folks, come on. You know what this is? I call it like my Indiana Jones watch because I love it. Joe, you have yours?
Right next to my head.
You got Joe's what? Oh, sorry, Paul's. I got Paula jumping around doing a million different things.
There it is.
We're dealing with a skeleton crew here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. You can do it, you know, with work restrictions and everything like that. No, Joe.
It's beautiful. Sorry. That's all
Joe
you need.
Joe does have his outfit.
Yes, I do.
They are. It's a beautiful watch. You can see mine. I don't actually see
it. It's great time,
something else up there right now. Yeah, I see that.
That's important.
Yeah. There we go.
Very nice.
Vincero Watches, ladies and gentlemen. I've been working with them for a while now. They create the most incredible looking watches at such an incredible price point. Look at this. I don't wear any other watch. Now I got this one. I got the black one as well. This is their Altitude. Their Chrono S is beautiful too. This is more of my rugged watch I like wearing around town. I kind of wear this with like the t-shirt look. The Chrono S I go with when I have a suit or a jacket on. I love it. My listeners love it. The feedback I get on Vincero is incredible. Just had a guy, Mike, email Vincero, said how much he loves their watches. They're terrific. Listen, for a lot of brands, it's about the bottom line, not the customer. Vincero is totally different. They know how important it is to look and feel your best. But above all else, they treat their customers right and they go above and beyond to make sure you're taken care of. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's not time to be overspending on ridiculous watches that candidly use some of the same machinery and stuff that these other watches use. Vincero is a beautiful looking watch at an awesome price. People are going to think you spend thousands on this watch. They offer free shipping, 30-day returns. It guarantees your watch for 2 years. There's a reason they have 20,000 five-star reviews. You know how hard that is to do? I've written 5 books. I don't have 20,000 five-star reviews. But you won't find a better made watch for this good of a price anywhere. They know how to build a quality watch and to cut out all the garbage. They know it. They're not going to overprice you just for a name. When you put it on, you know you got what you paid for. It's the best value for your money guaranteed. They have a limited time deal. They've been a partner of the Dan Bongino Show for some time now. I've never seen a deal this good, never. They just released a whole new lineup, new styles for men and women. The lovely Paula has them too. And 20% off everything on their website. Go now. None of their new items are off limits. It's the best offer they have. Listen, this is the place and the time to go. Even if you're not a watch person, remember, there's always going to be an occasion where you want to look your best polished and put together. Interviews, networking, conferences, dates, anniversaries, weddings, whatever. Owning a great watch is about feeling like $1 million. I won't wear anything else. This deal really is too good to pass up. Go to VincheroWatches.com. That's VincheroWatches.com/Bongino. And use my discount code Bongino for an exclusive discount at checkout. Do not pay full price in these beautiful timepieces. Use my code Bongino at checkout for a 20% discount. VincheroWatches.com. All right, thanks. Love Vincero. Sorry, I threw Paula a curveball there, right? Did I? I know. She's like giving me the, you can't do that. She's giving me the old Queen's finger there. You know the Queen's finger? Come on. We both were Queen's kids.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, are the models, again, we're using to base our public policy decisions about the Wuhan virus from China, are the models all wrong? Now, you may say to yourself, and listen, I can't say this enough. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not, for the 10,000th time, I am not, capital N-O-T, downplaying the severity of this. There are older folks, immunocompromised people, people who are diabetic and with lung issues, who are at real, very real, tangible danger here. It's not a joke.
Nope.
This is not partisan talking points. It's not what I'm suggesting. I refuse to get baited into that argument. I've been tweeting all weekend and I mean it. Anyone suggesting to me, either shut the economy down or you want people to die, you're not serious. That's not what I'm suggesting. I am not suggesting a black and white there. I'm simply asking a question we should all be asking as journalists, investigative reporters, don't call me that, and people interested in facts, because journalists don't do that anymore. Are the models we're basing our response to this crisis on accurate? Is that not a fair question? I've been trying to think all weekend of an analogy to make sense to folks who keep sending me emails. Right, Paula, some of them say, Dan, you just want to open everything up and let people die. That is not what I'm, are you not listening to the show? I'm asking the question, are our responses to the crisis commensurate with the threat? And how do we know what the threat is if how we gauge the threat is based on data that's wrong? So I was thinking of an analogy that makes sense. And I'm thinking, there's so many. But imagine this, Joe. Imagine we based our public policy to the tobacco industry. On data. I tried to think of a good example. It's clearly not. I'm going to give you an example now of a product we know does harm. Okay. We know tobacco harms your lungs. Mm-hmm. We know it. There's no disputing that, okay? It's understood. So why do we let people smoke? Why? The people emailing me, Dan, if we can save one life. Okay, well, I don't understand. Are you also backing a full ban of tobacco? What about alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we limit cars to 65 miles an hour? Why do we make cars that do 100 miles an hour? 120. In some cases, you can get a Lamborghini, some Maseratis, and others 120 plus. Why do we allow that? Why do we allow cigarettes if we know cigarettes can kill you from lung cancer, emphysema, and various pulmonary disorders?
Good one, Dan.
Why? You know why, folks?
Because
we're free.
Yeah.
Just like the media is free. And just like the media I revile for their misinformation, disinformation, and propaganda efforts, I'm not kidding when I say there is nothing you will ever, no matter how malfeasant the media becomes, no matter how malicious and hate-filled to Republicans they come, you will never, ever, ever, I don't care what you tell me or what story you write outside of criminal activity, you will never get me ever to fold on my defense of the media's ability to be free. But those same rules apply to us too, folks. We've all been tapped on the shoulder by God. And I believe in God. If that bothers you, I'm sorry. You're welcome here too. You don't have to believe in, it's not a prerequisite to be here. But I believe in capital G God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've always said that. I'm a sinner like everyone else, but I don't run from that, and I never have. You don't have to. Again, it's not a prerequisite for listenership on this show. But he made me free. Like he made you free, and Joe free, and Paula free. And with that freedom comes responsibility. And with that freedom comes the freedom, ladies and gentlemen, candidly, to do dumb things. Sometimes people speed. Sometimes they smoke. Sometimes they drink alcohol, knowing it's going to destroy their liver to excess. But we're free. Meaning we're free to make mistakes. But we base public policy on the severity of those mistakes on data. In other words, getting back to my cigarette example, why data matters and why shutting down the economy on data matters. Ladies and gentlemen, if we found out tomorrow that the data on cigarettes was all wrong, there was some change in the tobacco gene, and that smoking one cigarette would kill you instantly, how many people you think would smoke? Honestly, there would probably still be some, very few. But you think the level of smoking and nicotine, now I'm not suggesting that that's not true, obviously. I'm just trying to give you an example that would make sense. If that were to come out tomorrow, that there was some genetic change in the tobacco leaf, one cigarette will kill you. You think we'd have a drop in smoking? I'd say yes, pretty dramatically. Like,
yep.
Then what if you found that the next day, again, the data was wrong? Your behavior would change, right? Because you were basing it on data you thought was accurate, but wasn't. I'm simply asking the question under narratives too. We're making profound generational changes to livelihoods, economy, people's businesses, savings, and even their health as they sit home now and can't do anything, can't go to gyms, can't eat like they normally do. Some of them can't earn any money anymore. We're making profound changes, ladies and gentlemen, based on data that is clearly not correct. Why are the Democrats and the media not asking these questions? Why? Let's go to John Solomon's new website, justthenews.com, where he has a piece specifically about the data not being correct. It'll be in the show notes today. As always, please subscribe to my newsletter, bongino.com/newsletter. I will get you these articles in the show notes every day in your inbox. Headline, tracking site suggests White House model is overestimating coronavirus hospitalizations. The true numbers of Americans hospitalized with coronavirus appear to be tens of thousands lower than the model's projections. What? Please, with a straight face, answer me this question. Why isn't this all over the media now? The models, ladies and gentlemen, are wrong. What they call the Murray model. Murray. Murray's the researcher at the University of Washington. I have no ill will towards this man. I'm sure he's a patriot. And a sir, I don't know him. I'm not disparaging the man's character. I love science like everyone else. I was an MBA student and a graduate student in psychology where I loved neuropsychology. My professors were great. But Mr. Murray's model from the University of Washington is not right. And someone in the White House is feeding this to Trump. Again, let's go to the receipts from the Just the News article. Please read this article. The forecast predicted, for example, that the U.S. would need about 164,750 hospital beds for COVID-19 patients on Saturday. Yet the COVID tracking project, Joe, a team of journalists and data analysts who collect and tabulate coronavirus data from state tallies around the country, reported only 22,158 currently hospitalized coronavirus patients on Saturday. Serious problem, 22,000. Not something to dismiss or brush off. That's not what we're arguing. What I'm arguing to you, if you're making public policy decisions based on predictions of scientific modelers who predicted this crisis would be so severe that on Saturday we'd had 164,000 people in those hospital beds, and less than a fraction of that, 22,000, are in those hospital beds. Maybe you should reevaluate those models. I'm just asking. It's not even close. You may say, well, clearly the state data, they've been pretty on the ball with that, right? Well, let's go. Let's see what the receipts say about that. From the Just the News piece by Daniel Payne. The discrepancies are also stark when looking at state-by-state models. The model estimated 65,434 patients would need hospital beds in New York State on Friday. In reality, there were 15,905 hospitalizations in the state by Sunday morning, according to the COVID tracking project. Again, ladies and gentlemen, a serious issue.
Absolutely.
Period, full stop. We have a lot of serious issues we deal with. We base the response to those serious issues, tobacco smoking, alcohol use, the flu, the Ebola virus in 2015, H1N1. We base our public policy responses by leaders we hope that will act responsibly. We hope they're making their decisions based on accurate data, which will gauge not if it's a crisis, it is. Basing their public policy response on how severe the crisis is based on data. That is wrong. It's wrong. We have the receipts. It's wrong. It's not wrong by a little. It's wrong by massive amounts. So you're saying, okay, this is narratives too. First, you asked why they flipped the panic switch to media, and I gave you two answers. Now I'm asking you, well, if the models are all wrong, why are the Democrats and their media folks continuing to double down on 24-hour hysteria? Why have they become panic merchants? This trafficking and panic all the time. Why? Paula said to me over the weekend, she goes, I don't remember this during H1N1 or Ebola. No, of course you don't. Matter of fact, I remember being in the media during one of those. And I remember a lot of people saying, hey, man, I don't want to panic anyone. Make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because there's two other narratives emerging with the media. Remember, narratives. These are, the media is telling you a story, not the story. This isn't an actual story. It's a fake story. Mm-hmm. It's an Aesop's fable. So, narrative number one emerging is going to be that it was the Republicans also who underestimated this crisis, Joe.
Mm, I see.
Those dastardly Republican governors. You don't believe me? Here is a New York Times guy, PJ Media piece, who tweeted this gem out this weekend. He showed a map. And in that map, now, Joe, the majority of governors in the South, whether it's Florida, whether it's Alabama, whether it's Georgia, the majority of governors happen to be Republicans. So PJ Media found this interesting thing here. Tyler O'Neill, misleading New York Times map suggests that the South is uniquely dangerous for coronavirus, despite the fact that the largest number of coronavirus victims, Michigan, Illinois, California, New York, are led by Democrat states. Again, I'm not making politics out of this. I'm telling you how they are.
Right.
These are our friends. These are our cities. These are my family members who are in New York. My mother's in Queens. My brother's in Long Island, the now epicenter of this. It's not a joke. The joke are the Democrats trying to pin this now on the South. Oh, that happened to be Republican states led by Republican governors, despite the fact that no data backs that up at all. Now, that PJ Media piece is fascinating. Please read it. Because these losers at the New York Times showed, look, Joe, people in the South are traveling more.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, those dopey Republicans in the South, you dopes, just like Joe and Dan, us two idiots doing a show, what do we know, right? They're traveling more, whereas people in the really smart Democrat states, Joe, they're traveling less. So you dumb rubes, look at you idiots. You need to be like us northern elites.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that that's where the actual outbreak is occurring. Right. Again, defying common sense. Now, Joe, what was the logic here that the people in the South are traveling more? Conveniently discount based on some, what, cell phone type data they had or something?
Huh.
Joe, it's something interesting about the South. Right? I know you're kind of getting this already, but again, these are reporters. So they clearly, like, they're so smart. How they missed this, I don't know. Their IQs are so high. This is how stupid our media is. How dumb they are. Remember what I told you, narratives. Why are they running with panic full time? Because now they want to blame it. Those dumb Republicans down South. Joe, do you think the population is more dense? In other words, more people per square mile. Not a trick question. Mm. In very dense New York City or down in the South? Just to throwing that out. Do you think New York is more dense population-wise or the South?
Well, I'd say New York there, Dano.
In his best game show voice.
Yes.
What were their names in the game show? Like Monty or Trip? There's Trip Armacost. I'd say New York, and you'd be right. Population density, meaning what? Because again, the media is so dumb, we have to explain this to them like Tyler does in the PJ Media piece, that people who live down South, where I do, the grocery store is like 4 or 5 miles away. The closest one, I think, to us is about 3 miles.
Hmm.
The grocery store in New York probably has one on every corner. So if you have a cell phone, you go down your elevator, you walk out, go to the grocery store, you come back up. But see, the New York Times didn't get that. They didn't get that because they're stupid. So they suggest, you dumb rubes down South, you're just traveling in defiance of the travel ban. No, they're traveling to eat, you dumb. This is your media. This is real. Totally disregarding population density. These dumb.
Yeah.
Here's a piece by Legal Insurrection, doubling down on you dumb Republicans. You're so stupid. You caused this crisis. Panic. You should be panicking. By Stacey Matthews. Does great work at Legal Insurrection. False media narrative of red state negligence in Wuhan virus response. Here it is. Subtitle. The hardest hit states so far are blue states. So why is the media spending disproportionate amounts of time attacking red states? Because they're Republican. There's no... Let's go to the Legal Insurrection piece. This isn't hard to figure out because the media are liars. They're filthy liars. Quote, Legal Insurrection, Stacey Matthews. But another related talking point has emerged in recent... The talking point, Joe, code for narrative. Remember, the media is telling you a story, not the story.
Copy that.
The latest talking points that emerged in recent stage involves the press relentlessly bashing red states for their allegedly slow response in comparison to blue states. In a nutshell, the reason they have supposedly been slower to put restrictions in place is that they are taking their cues from Trump, Fox, and Rush Limbaugh. There you go, Joe.
Oh,
fake media, fake hack, filthy media losers perpetrating a false story that there's massive outbreaks in red state because the South, you're too stupid to not travel. We got it under control in the blue states. because they're taking advice from Fox. Wow, Joe, how great. You get to kill two birds with one stone. You get to knock off Fox. They were promoting misinformation, despite I just played the media supercut before of the media saying the exact same thing because nobody knew how dangerous this was. They were listening to Fox. Let's get Fox off the air and let's destroy those Republican governors too and get Trump at the same time. The media are gross. These are gross, horrible people. But there's also, remember Lawrence Tribe? Here we go again. You need a motive now, Joe, too. You need a motive always. Tribe's a lawyer. He knows motives sell. He knows it. So here's our friend Lawrence Tribe last week. And by friend, I mean ideological enemy. Here's our friend Lawrence Tribe last week at giving us a motive for these red state, blue state divides. He says, well, if withholding essential aid from Ukraine until it did Trump's bidding was impeachable, and it was, why isn't doing that to New York, Michigan, Washington, and other blue states equally impeachable? Asking for a friend. Oh, so now you may be saying, well, Dan, why are they ignoring the models and the data, the media? Because the models and the data tell a far different story than the media model, the media narrative they want you to believe. Those dumb red states, you really screwed up. Folks, there's a blue state outbreak. Oh, no, no. The reason there's a blue state outbreak. Motive alert. The reason there's a blue state outbreak is because Trump didn't respond to these blue states early because he undersold the crisis back to narrative one that we saw coming for a mile away. You did because we have the receipts saying you didn't. No. Forget those. Memory hole that. There's the motive. Despite the fact that the blue state governors have not been able to pinpoint anything Trump actually did to withhold aid. That's kind of a side story. Nothing to do with the fact that they withheld aid. Well, they didn't withhold aid. No one has any evidence. It doesn't matter. It's Lawrence Tribe. No one said he was telling you the truth. Motives. Motive. Yeah, the blue states are worse because Trump did it. I thought you said the red states were worse. We did because we need to bash the Republican governors. All right, I want to get to fake book and I want to get to some of this Atkinson stuff because it's really devastating. He was fired on Friday. Yes. Yes, finally. But fake book first. Let me get to my final sponsor, Bravo Company Manufacturing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the market for a rifle today, you need to go to Bravo Company Manufacturing. You do. Listen, firearm stores are just sold out of inventory right now. I know I was around one this week. Can't even barely buy ammo anymore. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for sporting rifles, that's nice, but that's not BCM. You know, they tell you in these reads, these advertisements, never say what a company isn't. But in this case, it's important. Because Bravo Company is not a sporting arms company. Those are great companies. They make sporting rifles, hunting rifles. That's terrific. It's not what Bravo does. Bravo makes life-saving equipment, ladies and gentlemen. They design, they engineer, and they manufacture the finest life-saving equipment, their rifles, around anywhere. These are my go-tos. I have a lot of firearms. My two Bravo Company rifles are my go-tos. I have two AR models, and I love both of them. Ladies and gentlemen, they are on point. They are accurate. I have not had any failures at all. These are just elegantly designed, top-notch, life-saving rifles. Again, these are not sporting arms. These are life-saving rifles assembled right here in America, hand-assembled, and tested by Americans in Heartland, Wisconsin, to a life-saving standard. Bravo Company Manufacturing. BCM for short puts people before their products. They know when they're constructing these rifles, they're hand-assembled rifles right here in America, that God forbid that rifle may be used one day in a life-saving situation. They know it might wind up in the hands of someone in law enforcement, one of our soldiers, or a civilian where someone's looking to do you harm. God forbid. Do not go into the market for a rifle without looking at Bravo Company Manufacturing. You'd be making a huge mistake. To learn more, head to Bravo Company FG, like MaryFrankGeorge.com. You can discover more about their products and specials and upcoming offers. BravoCompanyMFG.com. That's BravoCompanyMFG.com. You need more convincing? Go to YouTube.com/BravoCompanyUSA and check out their people and their products right there in their YouTube channel. Go today. BravoCompanyMFG.com. Can't recommend these rifles highly enough. My go-tos. Okay. All right, a fake book update. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I try not to complain about tech tyranny too much on the show, You get a lot of it on cable news at night, and that's good. The tech companies, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, they've been after our show for a long time, sadly. I don't complain about it because I use their platform still, because I think what better revenge show against the liberal tech companies than to use their old platforms to spread a conservative message. And that's why I always recommend you follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and you, that is the ultimate revenge, is it not? But they've been after us. And I don't like, you know, whining on the show, so I don't bring it up too much. But something happened over the weekend I wanted you to be aware of about Facebook. Facebook is the worst offender of all. Last week, we did a segment on our show, which we posted on our Facebook page. I'm the verified blue checkmark Dan Bongino Facebook page. By the way, one quick note on that. We are not, capital N-O-T, running any contests on our Facebook page at all. Some scammers from overseas are replying to people with fake Dan Bongino show accounts. They're not mine. I'm the one with the blue checkmark, Dan Bongino. We have about 790,000 followers, that one. That's our only page, only one. There's no other pages. Mm-hmm. If you get a response to one of your replies on my Facebook page from Bongino Show saying you've won money, it's a scam. Do not reply. It's a scam. I'm going after them every day, but it's not easy. They're slicksters, these people. But Fakebook, we put a segment from the show about Nancy Pelosi, who on the same day Trump announces the travel ban, Nancy Pelosi speaks out about Trump travel bans. Now they said, well, it wasn't the specific one from China. Ladies and gentlemen, Pelosi's team knew exactly what they were doing. They picked the African countries and a prior travel ban to engage in identity politics because they wanted to take a shot at Trump right as the Wuhan virus was raging. Just like Jerry Nadler, who I showed you at the beginning of the show, said the Trump travel ban from China was irrational. Hmm. Pelosi's team knew exactly what they were doing. So what happens? The fake fact checkers, some Sarah Lee, whatever her face is, Jonesy or so at factcheck.org, which is the biggest scam site out there, says, this is not accurate. There's no proof Pelosi was referring to the chat. The same day Trump puts out the travel ban, she tweets out about how she doesn't like travel bans and she wants to ban them. The No Ban Act. That is 100% accurate. 100%. I read to you her tweet. I showed you the dates and produced the receipts. Fact check, which is hilarious. This is a liberal hack site. I mean, that's not exactly disputing her motive. Fine, dispute her motive. Go right ahead. The facts of the case are clear. We produced the receipts. They said, this is false. Facebook said, we are going to shut down the penetration of your page to people. You do that, Fakebook. Don't care, buddy. My show is the second most popular conservative digital show in the country. We don't care, Fakebook. You want to engage in an asymmetric war against me on Fakebook? Fine. Folks, Fakebook is a scam. Fakebook did that, the fake fact check, for one reason. The election's coming up, Joe. Ooh, shocker. And all of a sudden, Fakebook's going to start cracking down with fake fact checks from liberal sites about factually accurate information. And shockingly, Joe, it's really only going to affect conservative pages. Oh, and I heard another rumor this weekend about Fakebook that all of a sudden they're changing their algorithm. And a lot of these conservative pages that have had widespread dissemination that have been able to change the media's fake narratives from a story to the actual story, that those Facebook pages of conservatives are getting diminished views right before the election. Fakebook is a scam. Now, disclosure here, because I'm horrified. I bought some of their stock a couple weeks ago. If I didn't have the capital, I would sell this thing today. Facebook is a scam. You know, we should dump this crap anyway. I didn't buy a lot of it. It's a scam. Fakebook is a joke. It's a joke. I thought they had turned the corner because they had did a fact check on a liberal site too. I thought, you know what? Shame on me. Total scam. My friends' pages are getting hurt too. The election's coming around. They're back to their liberal ways. Now, why? Why is Fakebook back to their scam? Let me show you. I highlighted this piece for you. Here is one of the dopiest guys in media. He's probably four or five in our dumbest guys in media chart. Aaron Rupar, really one of the dumbest guys. I don't even know who he writes. I think he writes for Vox, but there's a piece at Vox and he wrote, this guy's just really, I'm sorry. He's really dopey. But this guy wrote this piece a while ago. Facebook's top news stories are like a window into an alternate dimension. In other words, meaning like our Spygate stuff and conservative stuff, it's actually real. Doesn't subscribe to dopey Aaron Rupar's fake news stories. Mm. So he got upset, so decided to highlight, wink it or not, to Facebook, we're going to start shutting these conservative pages down. You don't believe me? Look who appeared on this. Oh, check this out, this Vox piece. Now all of a sudden you want to see why my page is getting fake fact checks and algorithm checks? Look at this by Aaron Rupar, one of the dumbest guys in media. He says, in fact, as of this writing, stories from right-wing sources, Joe, about Clinton's emails, that was a big story that day. Mm. God forbid, Joe, represented 3 of the top 10 and 5 of the top 20 stories on Facebook. Oh my gosh, we can't have that. The number 4 stories from Breitbart. The 8th ranked story is on the same topic from Dan Bongino's website. Oh, hint to Facebook. Wink and a nod, ski. Liberal lying hack and collusion hoaxer and impeachment hoaxer Aaron Rupar at a discredited site Vox, bunch of liars and losers. Vox, Facebook, you can't have conservative right wingers like Ben Shapiro, Dan Bongino, and Breitbart trending on Facebook. Now, conveniently, Fakebook shuts our page down. We're not kicked off Fakebook. Just now, if you don't go to your settings and say, see all posts from us, there's a strong likelihood you will not see anything we put up there. So I'm asking you to go to our Facebook page, Dan Bongino Facebook page with the blue check mark. That's us. That's the only page we have. And I'm asking you to like it. Not because it benefits me anymore. I don't even like Facebook. I'll tell you what, I'll shut the page down tomorrow if it was up to me. But just to screw them. And make sure you like our posts. Because when you like them and comment on our posts, by the way, they get shared by more people and it bypasses the stupid Facebook algorithm. Fakebook. Paul, I'm going to hold that media understand basic math tweet until tomorrow. Our friend X John on Twitter, hilarious tweet. The media can't do basic math. I'll get to that one tomorrow. But I do want to get to this story because I've been teasing it the whole show because it's important. So on Friday, President Trump thankfully fired the horrendous Inspector General Michael Atkinson. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy has done an awful job. I'm sorry, don't know the man personally. Man. I'm strictly speaking about his professional performance. It's been a disaster. This is the Inspector General of the intelligence community, Michael Atkinson, that forwarded on the fake whistleblower complaint, despite the fact that there wasn't firsthand information, which the reporting requirements had stated, not the statutory requirements, but the reporting requirements, and said it was an urgent concern, even though the whistleblower was fake. It wasn't firsthand information. And what they said in the complaint was not in fact true. But the ICIG, who got fired on Friday, the Inspector General, said, you guys in Congress need to see this, Joe. But he's got kind of some shady connections, this guy. By the way, this will be in my next book too. Follow the money. Follow the trail. Oh yeah. This next book is going to be sweet. Gonna love it. It's like a series of short stories about idiots in Congress and liberals, except they're all real. So, Washington Examiner, let the swamp draining commence, ladies and gentlemen. Atkinson gets the boot. Thankfully, Donald Trump fired Atkinson on Friday. You have that story? Washington Examiner. It's up in the show notes today. Please check it out. It is definitely worth your time. Now, do you think it's a coinkydink here that Trump fired Atkinson, the Inspector General of the intelligence community, right around the time, Joe, they did a performance review of FISA applications in the FBI and found out that there was a 90% non-compliance? Remember that story from Friday where Inspector General Horowitz, who's apparently Atkinson's buddy, I don't trust Horowitz anymore, I'm sorry, at all. Horowitz did this review of the FBI's FISA applications to spy on Americans and others, by the way, and found out that there was a 90% compliance review problem, meaning they weren't in compliance and didn't have the evidence to actually do what they were doing. Their Woods files were inaccurate. They had a 90% rate of errors on that. You say, well, what does Atkinson have to do with FISA? Oh, let's paint this little story of, as I've said, and as will be the subject of my next book, everybody knows each other, ladies and gentlemen, all the anti-Trump hoaxers, and they all have something to hide. So Atkinson, FISA, Spygate, I thought he was the impeachment hoax guy. Hang out here. Hang tight. Let's go to this Epoch Times piece, a little older, but worth your time. Be in the show notes today. Sometimes I post older articles because they're new again. Here's this piece from the Epoch Times. Intel watchdog who vetted whistleblower campaign. That's the guy who was fired. Tied to top lawyer in Democrat impeachment effort, huh? January 2020? No.
What?
Come on. I thought these people were all pure of heart, Joe. No conflicts whatsoever. So the guy who was fired on Friday is directly tied to a top Democrat impeachment lawyer involved in the impeachment based on the fake whistleblower complaint that this same guy who was fired forwarded to Congress saying it was an urgent concern when it wasn't? Yes. Let's go to the Epoch Times piece, this little nugget. Prior to his confirmation as ICIG, Michael Atkinson, fired, served as the senior counsel to Mary McCord. Who was Mary McCord? Oh, she was then the assistant attorney general at DOJ, according to a questionnaire that Atkinson submitted to the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. So Atkinson worked for Mary McCord at DOJ. Interesting. What did McCord do? Well, according to the Epoch Times piece, McCord, who left her post in May of 2017, now serves as the legal director at the Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection and is a law professor at Georgetown. In addition to these positions, Joe, no way, no way. Mary McCord has also been listed as the top outside counsel for House Democrats in the legal fights tied to impeachment.
Oh,
come on, guy. Come on. To quote Coach Stan, we haven't done that in a while. My baseball coach from the yesteryears. So the inspector general, who receives the complaint from the fake whistleblower, the complaint that's a lie, and then fudges this stuff to make it look like an urgent concern, because if he makes it an urgent concern, he can give it to Adam Schiff to make a political bomb out of it. Used to work for Mary McCord, who was a lawyer for the same committee Adam Schiff used to receive the complaint. Gosh, that's crazy time. Well, we also know that Mary McCord, who is now a lawyer with Schiff's committee, who used to know the ICIG, who forwarded the fake complaint, we know McCord was also the person who accompanied Sally Yates to the White House in early 2017, to warn the Trump White House about the dangers of Mike Flynn. Mary McCord was there too? Lady working for the Schiff committee now. Oh my gosh. No conflict of interest there at all. You may be wondering, what the hell was this guy Atkinson doing in this position so long? Yeah, me too. Oh, it gets worse. Atkinson's misfeasance or malfeasance here in this case is legendary. Let's go to this great piece by Margo Cleveland in The Federalist, which you're just going to love, in the show notes today. Did the inspector general's office, same guy, Atkinson, helped the whistleblower try to frame Trump from September of 2019. So Atkinson, who's supposed to be pure of heart, we can't question his motives at all, Joe, who worked with this lady as an attorney for Schiff right now, who was also involved in the takedown of Flynn. Gosh, crazy. Apparently Atkinson was up to some really crazy stuff here. In the whistleblower complaint, in order to have an urgent concern, Joe, you have to have, quote, something related to the funding, administration, or operation of an intelligence activity within the responsibility and authority of the Director of National Intelligence. Mm-hmm. As Margo Cleveland notes in her piece, notice what's missing from the whistleblower complaint. That the misconduct is, quote, relating to the funding, administration, or operation of an intelligence activity within the responsibility of the DNI. Wait, I thought that was urgent concern needed that. Yeah, I thought so too. Back to that screen one there from that piece. Kind of missing your urgent concern thing, right? Back to that screen one from that piece. The whistleblower admitted the key language because the quid pro quo scenario he was selling did not trigger the urgent concern as defined by Congress. And with no urgent concern, there was no basis to file a complaint with the inspector general. Doesn't matter. He ran with it anyway, Atkinson, despite the fact that the statutory provisions for what an urgent concern would be, in other words, it's so urgent, Joe, I got to give this to Schiff, wasn't there. But he did it anyway, gave it to Schiff, who, wow, isn't that convenient? One of their attorneys was this lady, Mary McCord, who worked with Atkinson at the DOJ under John Carlin, who ran their division, by the way. Oh, yeah, who was Bob Mueller's old chief of staff. Didn't want to leave that one out either. Let's go to another one here from the Margo Cleveland piece. Another oddity here, as Sean Davis, the great writer from The Federalist, pointed out, the revised form that initially stated needed firsthand information, Joe, was uploaded on September 24, 2019, days before the anti-Trump claim was the complaint was declassified and released to the public. The markings on the document, Joe, state it was revised in August of 2019, but no specific date of revision is disclosed, and the whistleblower's complaint was dated August 12th, 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, let me translate for you. Although there is no statutory requirement to make a fake whistleblower complaint that it's firsthand, the form clearly said, is this firsthand information? The fake whistleblower didn't have firsthand information. So conveniently in August, Joe, they changed the form to get that firsthand thing out of there. Kind of weird, no?
Yeah.
Along with the fact that they said it was an urgent concern when it wasn't an urgent concern. One more quick point on this, we'll run. Epic Times. Ladies and gentlemen, where's the Atkinson transcript? Remember, Atkinson, the ICIG, who was just fired, thankfully, testified in front of Congress. And John Ratcliffe asked him a very specific question about the fake whistleblower's contact with Adam Schiff's committee. And as this Epic Times piece points out, John Ratcliffe, who's a great congressman, who's going to be our next DNI. Now you know why the Democrats don't want him to be the next director of national intelligence, by the way. Ratcliffe asked specifically Atkinson under oath during his transcript. You see this Epic Times piece, Adam Schiff in the case of the unreleased Atkinson transcript. Hey, what about Adam Schiff? You know, and his lawyer, that lady Mary McCord, who used to work with you? Was there any contact between the fake whistleblower and Schiff? What was the answer? We don't know. Because Adam Schiff keeps talking about the 17 witnesses and their transcripts they interviewed. 17. Weren't there 18? Yes. The 18th was Atkinson's. And Adam Schiff's pretending it never happened. He refuses to release Atkinson's answer about his contact with the fake whistleblower. There you go, folks. The draining of the swamp continues. I'll get more on this tomorrow. Some more detail. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Please subscribe to my video show on YouTube, youtube.com/Bongino. We're only 9,000 subscribers away from 400,000. youtube.com/Bongino. It is free. It's for you. We put a lot of work into the video.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show. Follow Dan on Twitter 24/7 at DBongino.